Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and no, we're not in our normal spot inside Renaissance Bank, but looking forward to getting back soon. But in the meantime, we're virtual. And in the meantime, we still love Renaissance Bank. They've done a great job for small businesses in our area. And I know that personally from the work that I've done with clients. And if you're in need of a better alternative for your banking business, if you want some personal service for your small business, go check out Renaissance Bank. You can find their offices across the Southeast, 190 offices across the Southeast. They're open and ready to serve you. You just have to make an appointment ahead of time. So go to renaissancebank.com for the nearest office. Or if you want a recommendation in the North Fulton area, send me an email. I'll give you one. But go to renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome two very interesting guests with a what looks like just a terrific concept, J.D. Grogan and Terry Etheridge with Interaction. J.D., Terry, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Glad to have both of you. So, okay, I set you up talking about how interesting this is. Why don't you tell everybody how interesting what you're doing is? It's awesome.
So that elevator pitch, right?
Yeah. The elevator pitch.
Yeah. Interaction is a collaborative performance platform. With a mission of making the performance management process better for everybody in an organization, not just the business, not just the employee, but employees, managers, specifically human resources, folks and executives. And so we've built a SaaS or a software as a service platform. That really changes the approach to how performance reviews are done. Very antiquated process created by the military 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or by the government. We're taking a whole new approach to it that we've found through the feedback that we've had. People are very interested in it. So,
we were talking before we came on about really when you mention performance reviews to any manager and anybody that's managed, that's subject to them, the word pain immediately comes to mind.
Yeah, we've got a tagline on our website that says everybody loves performance reviews, right?
Wrong. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the idea for this really came from Terry, who's got, umpteen years of experience. She's not that old, but she's got lots of experience in human resources. And she had a concept, and we started to collaborate and put together a really cool platform. So Terry, tell them about it a little.
Yeah. So I think over 20 years in HR, performance reviews are definitely a sore spot for most individuals. Even if the review is a good review that you're going to be getting, it causes anxiety. Mm. And I think that anxiety comes from the unknown. We go a whole year for a process and, you know, the employee typically feels that there might be some bias or something unfair. Everything's not captured. The managers know it's a cumbersome process that they have to go through. And so what we were looking to do is how could we make this simpler? How could we make it be a ongoing feedback process that people actually enjoy participating in and that it was collaborative? So the ownership that a manager has to do a performance review everywhere typically comes to that person alone. They might seek out feedback from others, but typically that's going to be held to them personally. And what we were looking for is the manager can't always be in every meeting or part of every interaction that an employee has throughout their life cycle. Right. So we were thinking if we could figure a way to gather that interaction data from the people that you interact with daily, weekly, monthly, all of a sudden you start to get a feedback system that's more of an ecosystem that really is a collaborative way for people to move forward and to grow and develop with that process.
Let's talk about how the data is gathered. I mean, how these different, as you call it, interactions are gathered, the feedback from those. And you mentioned they come from a lot of different people in the organization beyond just the manager themselves.
Yeah, I think the approach that we've taken is that everybody is now familiar with receiving an email survey that says, how'd you like our service? And as soon as you respond, it pops up another dozen questions and you're like, ugh, I'm out.
Right.
So we wanted to be cognizant of the fact that people don't want to answer surveys all the time. So how do we make a survey? How do we capture data in a manner that is as much effort as it takes to say, I don't want to answer it, I could answer the question. And how will we automate all that so that a manager or an HR team or somebody doesn't have to go and kind of create the survey or distribute the survey or get the information out there? So we've got a unique approach that we tap into the calendar of the organization. And we know that when people go into a meeting, we know who's going to be in that meeting. We know what time that meeting starts and ends. We know what the topic is of that meeting. And so we can automate a little survey that goes out to the folks in that meeting at the conclusion or a few minutes thereafter and just say, hey, I'm not asking you to tell me whether John's a great employee and does a great job or not. Just tell me how that interaction happened today. Mm-hmm. So in that meeting, was he present? Was he participative? Was he driving? Was he distracted? Was he on a device? Things like that. And we take that information in tiny chunks that kind of gives you a story across time. And then we use that to kind of remind you in future interactions. So we might send out a future survey that says, by the way, you've had 10 interactions with John in the last 2 weeks. One of the objectives that John's manager gave him was communication. How's John doing at it? Good, fair, poor, right? Now you start to capture feedback from everybody in the organization that John is actually interacting with. And that starts to paint a picture, not only for John to look at on how he's doing, but for John's manager, for John's HR team. And if you look at the process we put in, the scoring that we've done as an executive, you start to look, every company's got KPIs about how many widgets they've sold, how many times the generator faulted or things like that. But everybody talks about the most important asset in their company is their employees, but they don't have any KPIs about them. Mm. And so our process is to use small pieces of data across a life cycle of an employee to make a manager's job easier, to capture that data that they need to use in a performance review, to give visibility to that employee, and actually to change the process, because right now the process truly is maybe a biannual or an annual performance review. What if you had information that you could do monthly spot bonuses? If you could say, I'm going to do a review on you on a quarterly basis, on a weekly basis. I mean, you have data that actually supports the people that are doing things, and you're not scrambling at the end of the year to go into that file folder that some HR person told you to keep notes in about your employees so that you could fill them out at the end of the year, right in the middle of your ski trip.
Yeah, because performance reviews right now are real heavily weighted toward the end of the year or the end of the period, whatever that is, right? So whatever the perception is at the end of the period, that's what it's weighted to. Right, Terry? I mean, you're the HR expert here.
Absolutely. And that's where you get the claims of, there was any type of disparity there that people really do feel like recency, right? They're just looking at what I did this last week, this last month. And what we were hoping with all of this data, again, an employee should know how they stand in an organization, how they're performing, and be able to look at that daily. I mean, we've had some people say, hey, if people aren't willing to give feedback once a year, why do they want to do it every day? And what we found is people want feedback. Everybody, no one comes to work every day to do a bad job or to be unclear on what they're supposed to be accomplishing. So when you can see every day with data how I'm performing, how my team is performing, you know, the goal of this process would be visibility and transparency, and that you really are building organizations that are trusting and the associates are engaged, because you're all working towards that common goal. And we know what the common goal is, right? Because we're going to help them set objectives. We made the objective setting process much easier. And then you're gathering feedback from everyone you interact with. So it really does change a culture of an organization around feedback, but it also holds people accountable. People are able to see how they're performing and where they're performing, and you're able to move your business forward.
You know, one question I like to ask is clients that are good fits, but one that I know type of organization that's not a good fit are the old style command and control organizations, right? Because this is a teamwork oriented system that you're talking about here. This is not something where just the senior people can dictate who's performing well and who's not.
Yeah. And I think you end up with those types of organizations because of the process. And changing the process, right? And allowing people to share feedback. Data is wonderful, right? Because there's a lot of assumptions that you can make in an organization and communications that people are having. And I think that's what I found in HR a lot. I would feel safe in saying 80% of the people who came to me with a problem, it really went back down to a lack of communication or assumptions that people were making. I'll tell you a real quick story. I had an employee who was talking with their boss, and another employee on their team walked by and heard this employee say to the manager, "Our team is not producing, they are lazy, and I'm the only person on the team who's actually doing any work."
Oh boy.
That employee goes back, that heard it, goes back and tells the team, right? Everybody's upset and frustrated. And you start to see a disconnect with that team now from this other member. This goes on for months to the point that the associate and employee was going to leave the organization. So when HR gets involved and we start digging into this, what we found is the employee that passed by only heard a very limited piece of that conversation. What actually happened was the employee went to the manager and said, "I'm very upset. I have heard that other people are saying that our team is not producing, that they're lazy, that I'm the only one that's actually doing any work. And that's not true. I have a very high performing team and I'm proud of them." Well, that story never got discovered. So you have disruption in the organization, you have drama happening, less productivity. And when you are able to have data and people are given feedback on a regular basis, people may not in the moment have been comfortable to reach out and speak up to this individual about that situation. But what the manager would have seen was a change in the way that they were rated. There would start to be some data that would say, "Hey, I think something might be going on here because the team was performing well, rating each other well, and now I see a decline on a certain associate." That's really important, because to be proactive in performance is critical for HR to be able to help an organization minimize any risk or discriminatory practices or anything that's happening within their business. But today we have to be reactive and wait for people to come to us with a problem. And with our tool, what we're doing is providing this data that allows people to proactively see what might be going on and research.
So let's talk a little bit about maybe how this might work the other way. I mean, does it work where managers are rated by their employees? How does that fit into this scenario, this system that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the beauty. So it's anyone that you interact with. Feedback is going to be given at all levels of the organization. So we do need, again, companies to be comfortable that data you might not have had in the past, you're going to get today. And that feedback is going to be coming on how your manager is, you know, performing, as well as how well that you are performing or how that you're interacting with each other. And I think that's what's important, because today it's really about just the output of work. And what we're hoping to capture, to JD's point, was how do you show up to meetings? You know, how engaged are you? What's the benefit that you're bringing to these interactions, along with this operational work and objectives that I have set for you? And then another cool element of our tool is all about succession planning. You know, who wants to be in a different position within the organization, we start to collect data in the realm of career planning and career progression. So a lot is encompassed in our tool, but once you start connecting all those dots together, you're able to allow a company to have a true workforce plan that talks about foundationally who is in our organization, what goals and objectives do they have, what talent do we have, and what roles are critical to our company. And then what does the future look like? And mapping our business strategies to our people strategies.
Let me throw one other thing in there since we're talking about the managers.
Sure.
Think about that manager who was recently promoted from their line work or their daily task. And they said, hey, you're great. Now be a manager. And the manager says, awesome, I got a promotion. And HR says, cool, now do one-on-ones on a monthly basis with your employees. And the manager goes, okay, how do I do that? And so part of the tools that we have is to not only capture the feedback about the performance of the employee, but now how do we give tools to the manager that helps them be efficient or proficient in the job that they are now tasked with, right? So how do we give a manager hints, training, objectives, and tools that when they sit down with their employees, it's not just a, what do you want to talk about today? It's actually, I have visibility to how you're doing. And now I've got some tools in my quiver here that I can use to try and help you do better at that task. So when we talk about, you know, we want to provide value to the whole organization, it truly is. We want to help the employee feel better in their job. We want to help a manager do their job better. We want to make sure that HR feels that there's accountability and the processes that they have in place are enforced. And we want executive teams to have visibility so that they can walk down the hall and go, wow, John, I heard you did a great job yesterday. Congratulations. And you as the employee go, oh my gosh, CEO just gave me a shout out. That's awesome.
Right. Wow. That's cool. Folks, we're speaking with JD Grogan and Terry Etheridge, and they're with Interaction. Now, you know, this is fascinating stuff. I am curious about one thing here. You mentioned the surveys that come, let's say, after meetings or what have you. I mean, two things. How do you make sure you're asking the right questions? Right. And how do you make that easy to respond to and not onerous? Because JD, you mentioned the problem with surveys is people get into them and like they abandon the cart, right? I mean, because they're too involved. Talk about those two particular issues.
So any of our surveys are single click. You can provide some added textual feedback in scenarios that if you wanted to say somebody was absolutely fantastic or absolutely horrendous, we're going to require that you give us some feedback as to why and immediately give that feedback to the manager as well. But anywhere in between, if you're looking at a level of a survey, all you have to do is answer the response. So in an interaction, for example, which is kind of in a meeting, the responses are, you know, basically, did you attend, right? That's the middle. We want people at the minimum level to attend a meeting and pay attention. We surely like them to participate or contribute or drive a meeting, but we don't want them to be distracted, disruptive, or jerks. And so that's the kind of feedback we're capturing from an interaction, right? A daily meeting. On the objective survey, again, it's we're just asking a single objective. So John, you've had 10 meetings with Terry. One of the objectives that her manager gave her is technical competence. How do you think she's doing on that? Good, fair, poor. That's the only answer we're looking for. We're looking to take all this data and make trends. So now we can say, hey, the whole organization believes that Terry is doing a good job at technical expertise, or the whole organization or the people that she interacts with feel that Terry's not doing a good job. Now, Mr. Manager, let me give you some tools to help Terry figure out how to be better at that job. Mm-hmm. So the questions that we're asking are simple, kind of yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down, but we captured lots and lots of data that tells a whole story versus an end of year, 6-page narrative.
So it sounds like you've got a way to keep people from gaming the system too. I mean, that you can't have like one or two people say, hey, I'm going to help you and you help me and that kind of thing. Right. Or one person keeps one person from kind of exercising a vendetta against someone else. Right. I mean, if someone gives extraordinary feedback one way or the other, that has to be justified and documented in some way.
That's the cool thing about tiny pieces of data over time. They show trends. They show trajectories. I can say that everybody thinks John's horrible at his job, but everybody else that John interacts with has said, John's wonderful. What's going on? There's some potential bias between John and JD. Right?
Right.
There is some potential collusion between John and JD. John is kind of mid-level, but the only person that says he's awesome every time they have an interaction is JD. It starts to show some trend analysis, and we got some very cool visualizations and tools that make it very easy to take a look and have those conversations. Am I going to tell you that there's bias? No, but I'm going to expose something so you might want to have a conversation. John, I see that you keep saying JD's fantastic. Everybody else thinks he's kind of okay. Tell me why JD is so much better than everybody else thinks he is. And so that's the great thing about tiny pieces of data that tell a long-term story versus kind of that one time, either it's the employee 360 review where you send out to 10 of your friends to get feedback for you at the end of the year, or it's the single narrative that your boss wrote for you at the end of the year that it's like Terry said, you know, recency. Hey, last thing I know that you did was terrible, so I'm assuming that your whole year was terrible, and here you go. You get a 1% increase. And the employee goes, what about the 11 months that I kicked butt?
Right.
So how do you make sure that both the employee and the manager have visibility to that? So when they sit down and actually talk, and I look at my iPad and my score, and my manager looks at his computer and my page, we're talking about the same things.
Now, Terry, I would imagine that part of the problem you're attacking here is this problem of employee engagement that, I mean, we read all these surveys about how disengaged employees in corporate America are. Maybe you can address that.
Of course. Yeah. You know, people come to work to do a good job, right? It's rare that somebody just comes in every day and says, I'm going to do the worst I can do today, right? They're looking for purpose. They want to know that the work they're doing is adding value to an organization. And when you're not giving feedback on a regular basis, you start to see that people do become disengaged. They are unclear of what their purpose might be and the objectives. They're not clear if they're performing the way that they need to be. And people then start making up, they tell themselves their own stories, right? So I'm not included because they don't like women. I'm not included because I haven't worked here long enough. Like, we start making up stories, and it does cause people to become less and less engaged. And what we find is what drives engagement is when people have purpose, when they get the feedback about how they're doing, whether it's good or bad, people want feedback. And so when you start taking a tool that they can look every day at themselves and see how they're doing, you find engagement, it draws people back together. We talk a lot about psychological safety, right? Is it safe for someone to actually be open and honest? And this tool also gives you that safe place, because initially the feedback that comes to the employee, they get a score, they get a rating, but they don't know who's giving that feedback. The manager knows who that they're interacting with and what feedback's coming in. But initially, they just kind of getting some information. As you build transparency in your organization, you can open it up to where people actually can see where the feedback's coming from. So trust in an organization creates engagement, purpose creates engagement, and visibility will create that. So that's what we hope to do, is give people the opportunity to talk about it and to be more engaged in what they're doing.
Well, one other thing that comes to mind as I listen to you talk, Terry, is that I would think employees really value being able to give their opinions about their coworkers, that they want to shout them out, right, when they do a good job, and that, like, a lot of companies have never asked coworkers how they feel about you know, each other, right? I mean, that it's more about how management feels as opposed to folks down the line. And that creates engagement in and of itself, right?
Yeah. They used to say that, you know, people don't leave companies, they leave managers. Mm. And now they're starting to say people don't leave companies, they leave their teams, because that's who you spend the majority of your time with. And that's why we felt like it was so valuable for people that you interact with throughout your days and your weeks. That's the feedback you're looking for. You know, it's important that your manager feels like you're doing a great job, but people I come in and day out with, and I'm on projects with, and I'm supporting, you know, I want to know how I'm doing, and I want to help those people as well. So that was another big challenge, is how often a manager would reach out to others to get feedback about how we're doing. Because a manager's not with you 24/7, right? And they're not working with you on a constant basis throughout the day. So it just gives this opportunity for everybody to have a voice. And one thing I think that's very important is, the voice may be something you need to look into. So there are going to be times when you have somebody in a meeting and everybody in the meeting might rate them low. But when you dig into that, you might find out that they're actually the voice of reason. It doesn't mean just because everyone rated them low that they weren't right, you know, for some of the things they might have been bringing up. But what you now have is the opportunity to talk about it in real time and figure out what that is. And the more you talk about things in the moment, the quicker you are able to find resolution, to come to common ground and move forward. Because people hold things for long times when they haven't had any clarity around it. And that starts creating drama within your organization. You know, millions of dollars a year are lost with associates. Cy Wakeman is an author and a speaker, and she talks a lot about the average employee spends about 2.5 hours a day in drama. You know, something happened to them. They want to tell their peers. They want to, you know, spend a lot of wasted time that's not productive for an organization. So what we want is the visibility and the transparency that really drives people to solve problems, to work together in real time.
I'm shocked to hear that there's drama in a corporation, but we'll come back to that. No, seriously, J.D. Grogan and Terry Etheridge are with us here with Interaction. Now, how does it work? I mean, when you sign up a client, or you're going through the discovery process before you engage a client, how does it work? I mean, how does someone get started?
Well, that's an interesting concept, because traditionally the HR platforms are multi-million-dollar systems that require, significant time in implementation, and most times there's lots of consulting that goes into getting them set up. We've taken a different approach. We're a SaaS platform. So if you wanted to get started with, it doesn't require an entire organization to adopt the platform to put it in place. If you wanted to get started with just a team or a division, you go to the website, we set up your instance on the system, and we automatically send invitations to the people that you want to be participating, and they're immediately playing. We're on a monthly subscription basis per employee. So there's no annual $1 million maintenance fee and implementation fee. And if you decide at some point you don't like it, you want to quit, then you quit. I guarantee you won't quit once you start seeing the stories and that data that's piling up over time. You want to get to the end of the story. You want to see how it ends. So that's the cool thing about what we're doing. But yes, we're not in favor of the long-term implementation, making sure that the whole organization, we feel that if you start with a team and you think it's working well, you want to invite other teams to be participating. And at some point, then the executives go, wow, what are you guys doing? That's really cool. And it takes it all, but eventually the organization adopts because of the feedback they're getting from the people that are getting to participate. And it's all in a monthly subscription.
I'm curious about success stories. If there's any success stories that you'd like to share that you're particularly proud of.
I think the biggest success story so far is the platform that we've built with the thought that's gone into place. You know, we're in a difficult time right now. We started the concept of this about 2 years ago, started building the technology a year ago. For 3 or 4 months ago, we had this thing that started making everybody have to stay at home. And now how do you figure out how people are working together, working at home? Now you've got people working at home for a particular cause, but those people may not be all reporting to the same manager. So now we've got people that are working on a shared goal or objective, but the manager is not involved in that because those people are working for somebody else at the moment to make sure the lights stay on remotely or things like that. And then we've got the social issues that are happening around the country, and you know, the stuff that we're fortunate because things have happened, but we're in a really good place with what we're bringing to the market that address a lot of things that are happening. It's not just hey, things are bad 2 months ago, let's go build something. We've been building this for an extremely long time, and it just happens to coincide with some really rough stuff that's going on. I think,
and I would definitely add that in, you know, companies and managers in particular really struggled with people working from home. They didn't have a way to capture data and they weren't right there with them. So there was this fear of allowing people to work remotely. When you're forced to work remotely and you have a tool that can actually capture some of the data that's happening in these meetings, you know, the manager doesn't have to be in every single meeting. You know, we have meeting exhaustion right now, right? Where everyone feels like they have to be in every meeting and they're not getting off Zoom at all. But if you knew that you were going to get feedback from people that were in those meetings, there's a trust factor that starts being built that says, I can use some of the data that I'm getting as opposed to my physical presence to know what's going on. So we've seen that people feel a little more trusting in the process because they have data to back up some of the processes that they're forced to work through today.
Wow, this is great technology. It makes a lot of sense to me. It's technology with some humanity around it. So that's nice to see, particularly in the environment we're in right now, where we see a lot of technology with no humanity. This has been great. I guess talk about the kind of folks you want to connect within an organization. I imagine that comes from HR, but maybe that's not always where that's not always the folks that would drive someone to you, right? Drive a company to you.
I think. You know, people that are in leadership positions that are espousing this kind of mantra of I want a fair and inclusive and open. We certainly encourage that. I think our focus, we kind of joke around that you know, the IT folks, they get a lot of cool tools. The sales folks, they get a lot of cool tools. The HR folks, they get spreadsheets. And so we want to make HR cool. And so we have been focusing short term kind of on helping to empower HR folks to bring new ideas to their organization, to show the value that they truly provide without the $1 million investment and taking a chance on a system that may or may not be the right fit. So, our initial kind of approach to the market is to people that work in the consulting world, business consulting and HR consulting, and people that are truly have an HR position to enable them to kind of introduce it to an organization. Of course, when a CEO says, here's this podcast and goes, that's really cool, and they call them, we love that too.
Yeah, because if you really think about companies, we spend a lot of money on our machinery, making sure that it's working to optimal efficiency, right? We put a lot of effort into that. When it comes to people, you know, we still use these old processes. Some companies are still using paper performance reviews. We need to get, you know, our talent processes, and with the technology that's available today, we should be so future focused on how we make, the employees that work for us the best they can be, provide them the best opportunities, and have open, honest, and visibility, you know, into everything that's going on with our people. They are the most important asset. Mm.
For sure. Well, JD, Terry, this has been awesome. I'm really glad we were able to get you on the show and get the word out on what the good work you're doing. But you mentioned folks listening to a podcast and calling you. They can't call you unless they know how to. So let's get that contact information out there. How can folks be in touch, and where's the best place to connect with you?
Absolutely. So the website is interaction.com, but we've taken a little spin because we want to put HR at the center of everything. So the word interaction is spelled INTHRACTION, interaction.com. Our company phone is on there. It gives you a little video about what we're doing. And if you want to reach out to us directly, it's 404-465-4966 or info@interaction.com.
JD Grogan and Terry Etheridge, and they're the co-founders of Interaction. JD, Terry, it's a pleasure having you.
It was great, man. Thanks very much for having us.
Thanks.
It was
awesome. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks to both of you. All right. Folks, just a reminder that if you've got some other headaches that go beyond HR, maybe you've got some administrative tasks that need some tending to, or bookkeeping or presentations, marketing done for you. Well, I've got an answer that involves something that's been around, a company that's been around for 18 years. So they're used to a virtual environment because they operate that way. Office Angels. Essie Escobedo at Office Angels. She takes your call, listens to what your problem is, and she picks an angel to come fly out of her heavenly nest and take care of your problem. And she's awesome. Her team is awesome. I use them. I know. So give her a call if you've got any of those issues. 770-442-9246 is her phone number. And the website is officeangels.us. Folks, just a reminder that you can find this show on all the major podcast apps by searching North Fulton Business Radio. You can also go to northfultonbusinessradio.com and find our archive of shows. We're up to number 250, and we're excited about that. So that's pretty exciting. And so there you go. The thing about it is we highlight some great folks like JD and Terry and the work they're doing. So if you can support our efforts on social media and rating us on your favorite podcast app, it gets the word out on what they're doing, because that's what we want to do here on North Fulton Business Radio. Social media, we're at North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. So check us out there. So for my guest, JD Grogan and Terry Etheridge, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.